This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 12, for Tuesday, August 14th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome.
I didn't say thank you that time.
You didn't say thank you. Welcome to the Washington, D.C. Penn Show edition.
Yay.
As you're probably aware, we're not doing this on Sunday, because Sunday we were...
Working our butt off.
In Virginia, I guess is the case, maybe.
Tyson's Corners, Virginia.
We arrived home yesterday from the show, exhausted, but I don't know about you. I sure had a good time.
It was fantastic.
We've talked a bit before about the lead-in before our departure to the show. This is where Lisa really shines. I do some heavy lifting and then get out of the way. let Lisa take care of the rest. Maybe you could speak more about the pre-show prep for this last week.
Pre-show prep sucks.
Well, at least we don't call it that phrase that I don't like to hear anymore.
No, it's better. We don't call it Hell Week.
It's not Hell Week anymore. Yeah.
In all sincerity, the week of a Penn show is pretty grueling. Right now, I have the summer off from teaching, so 99% of the packing falls to me since I have the most time. The division of labor is totally worth it to me because Brian prices the vintage pens, which I hate to do more than almost anything on earth. I mean, you have no idea the almost fights we've come to over pricing pens. So
actually, it goes something like this. What do you think about this pen? 35?
100.
100.
Well, that's a silly price, he says. I'm like, yep. I don't care. Pick a number. Just freaking price it. So I'm happy to spend days packing and repacking and organizing and then playing Tetris to put all the stuff in the car so that I don't have to price pens. It's totally worth it. But that's probably more than you wanted to know. The day that we leave for a show, the kids help me bring all the boxes out to the car, and then they hide. They go inside and hide. Brian goes to work so that I can play Tetris with the pen boxes in relative peace or utter frustration, usually. This time around, we had several orders delivered on Tuesday, so it was a little frantic to get the packages in, check them in, then pack them up without really having time to play with them and check them out, which we really do enjoy doing.
Was that Tuesday or was that Wednesday they came in? I thought they came in Wednesday.
They came in on Tuesday, which was okay. Good, so that I had Wednesday to pack instead of waiting for them
arrive. That's right.
Wednesday late afternoon. So this actually was good timing.
It was about four or five boxes. We had some Urban Ink, some Mona Verde. The Napas, the new Napas came in, the Artista Napas, crystals,
the crystals,
the Conklin Enduras, yeah, a lot of stuff. So
big Noodler's order, some display, some grid accessories. So,
oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Every time I ran downstairs to get more boxes, the doorbell was ringing, and it was UPS, it was Speedy Delivery, it was FedEx, it was the mailman, it was UPS again. I guess he missed something. and I did actually lose a little sleep Wednesday night kind of mentally packing the car because I had to take Brian to work and then come home, pack the car, and then go pick him up. And sometimes it can take hours. So I was shocked, utterly shocked.
I got a text about 8:30.
In the morning. After I dropped him off about 7, saying the car's packed.
Yeah, I thought she was mad at me. You know, I just threw it all in there. I don't care.
No, it all fit really well. I was surprised, and the kids were like confused. Like, this is it. We don't have to bring anything else. You're not going to need us in an hour. Like, no, this is it. It was awesome. Maybe because it was sprinkling out and. If it fit and I could get everything in the first try, it was good enough. And that was great. Then I had the rest of the day to do other stuff that I needed to do. So awesome.
It's not like you were just like sitting around eating.
No,
Twinkies the rest of the day, but you know.
Twinkies are creepy.
Ho-hos.
No, I was still printing stuff and laundry and groceries and like grading papers and stuff. So no, I had lots of things to do.
Yeah, you were still busy. So it worked out well that by 8:30 you were done packing. So.
Oh, it was heaven. Yeah. Awesome.
I was glad.
Yeah, because it's a stressful, tense ride for the first couple hours if it's been frustrating. But I picked up Brian from work Thursday afternoon. We headed off.
Yeah, it was about 3:45.
Yep.
Just to give people a reference.
Yeah. So we left about 3:45. We will be purchasing a new GPS before Dallas, one that's programmable and will not take us through downtown Chicago during rush hour.
Rush hour, yeah.
Thank you, Garmin.
Yeah.
We did not stop at KFC like we have the past couple times, so no double down for Brian.
Well, I think we got a nice happy medium with the A&W.
Oh, A&W was beer. Awesome. Yep. The root beer's root beer. That root beer's almost too sweet for me. I had some, and then Brian finished mine. But the burger was good, and it was a nice time that we stopped. It was not too late, but it wasn't like 20 minutes out of town, and then we stopped. We lost about 2 hours travel time due to traffic jams and construction.
And rain.
Oh, yeah, rain the whole way. It was not fun. Most of it wasn't too bad, but I don't know about you all out there, but 2:00 in the morning, driving through the mountains, rain is not what I want to deal with.
Yep.
So, but we did manage to pull into the hotel parking lot right about 9:30 Friday morning, tired from driving all night, but super excited to be there.
Yep. Yeah. Just as we pulled in, we met up with, I noticed FP Geeks, Eric Schneider and Stephen Brown are sitting in the lobby. Eric was typing away on his computer.
I think he was waiting for us.
Well, I've been using this new application on my iPhone for the last, two, 3 weeks called Twist, which allows you to send a notification to another person to let them know when you're going to arrive at the destination. So, all night long, he's receiving these Twist notifications because we stop and at 5:00 in the morning, I send him a text. I said, "Ink table up yet?"
So he might not have gotten a whole lot of sleep, and we get the credit for that.
But. Yeah. So they're sitting in the lobby. Said hi to them. We got checked in. It immediately proceeded to lose our room keys, which we still haven't found.
I don't know where they went.
I don't know where they went. We grabbed three tables right away, and we had four set up for the weekend, but we could only get three on Saturday.
Three on Friday.
Three on Friday, I'm sorry. I don't know why we couldn't get our assigned tables for Saturday. That just it doesn't make sense to me. But, and no breakdown would have been nice, but...
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. No offense, but we're not dealing with national security here. Just tell everybody where they're going to be and let everybody try to get where their assigned tables will be.
Right.
But whatever. It's a busy show, and Bob handles it his way.
Yep. Setup took, I think this time it took 3 hours.
Three long hours
to get everything packed, unpacked and set up. Most of it is our wall of ink, our grid of ink.
That's
so
a lot of ink.
Yeah, it took some time. And of course, we went straight from the car right to setting up. So it was pretty busy. Traffic Friday was moderate, I would
say.
Pretty
good. Yeah.
Not super busy, but good enough that you could get out and walk around a little bit. I managed to pick up some parts from Rich Lott. For those of you who don't know him, Rich is the one at the show. He has three, four tables of just parts.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't miss him. Tall, skinny guy. But I managed to find parts to finish three Parker 61s. So I was ecstatic. All three of them have cracked hoods. So now I'll be able to finish those three pens, which is nice. Scouted out some potential purchases for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's always something you got to do. So, you know, I wasn't ready to pull the trigger. You know, you gotta kind of make some money first before you can buy something. But that's just kind of how it works. We're pretty, for Friday, it was a pretty good day, I think.
We were pretty busy. It was pretty steady.
Yep.
Sometimes on the pre-show days, you have rushes where it's busy and then it's dead for a couple mm-hmm. hours. I think it was pretty consistently steady.
Yeah.
Not slammed, but definitely not dead at any point.
Yeah, and we weren't the last people to get there either. There was quite a few people that were still setting up throughout the day. The day actually, it went by pretty quick since we didn't really get set up till, I guess, you know, 1 o'clock. By the time we finally got everything all ordered, and you know, before you know it, it was 5-6 o'clock, and dim the lights, and it's ready to start moving. Thankfully, this year, I think this is the first time that we've known exactly where our table was.
Shh! Don't blow that. Nobody's supposed to know.
Oh, okay. we
knew where we were going to be. Yeah. So we could move the grid. We had to pack it up, but the now empty grid unit, we at least moved over into our space.
Yeah, which just happened to be across the aisle. So we guessed wrong, I guess. Setting up. But anyway, so we got that taken care of. That actually, well, we had some help. Judy and Brian from Allen Press.
Yep.
Were there to help us. Actually, they were also there to help us get the free wine.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Thank you, Judy.
From the reception. So with the help of the two of them, some wine, we were able to get, I think, everything pretty much moved over in about 45 minutes.
After a couple glasses of wine, it was good.
Yeah, it was nice. We had dinner. Then immediately following, we ate at the newly remodeled restaurant that's there at the hotel. So it was with, Judy and Brian, who are representatives from Allen Press, who publish the pennant for the BCA. Eric and Steven from FP Geeks met up with us. And boy, I tell you, it was some crazy, crazy conversation.
Oh, my.
Awesome. Good time. The food was great. We had some appetizers.
Yep.
Good burgers. Quite a few of us had burgers. I know you had some salmon.
Yummy salmon salad.
Yep.
Did we have wine?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Maybe we stuck to just Coke because we were so tired.
Yeah, there was a lot of water too flowing. Yep. I know they had those really funky water pitchers. And dessert, the dessert was excellent.
Oh, dessert was good.
I think I had the brownie, the warm brownie. So pretty good meal. And
that's just usually how pen shows kind of taper off. You're busy all day. You have dinner, conversation, which involves some pens and some, mm-hmm. you know, personal stuff.
Right.
Get to know each other better kind of thing. It's not all just pen talk.
In this case, we had Brian Paul. And this is worth mentioning. It's truly a newbie in the sense of the word.
Oh, never been to a pen show. The only pens he's been exposed to are the pens that I brought to Kansas when I went to visit Allen Press for a business meeting. And of course, he gets to see the pens in the pennant, mm-hmm. but he'd never really seen them. So he was a complete newbie and totally like a deer in the headlights, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he was so eager and so excited to learn. And he just kept asking, you know, the typical newbie questions. And it was fun to be able to share mm-hmm. Information and tips and tricks and, you know, remind him to leave the room and come up for air once in a while and take an Advil and wear comfy shoes.
Well, he asked some good questions, really good questions. And Steven, who just, I don't know, he is like a magician with a magic hat. He had more pens in his pocket than, I don't know where they all came from. It only looked like he had two, but he kept pulling them out. So here, try this one, try this one. We made some bets how long it was going to take, before Brian would buy his first pen and
how many pens he would leave with at the end of the weekend.
I don't know what the final number was, but
it was, I don't was know, it, but was it you or I who threw down a couple sweet and low packets? There was a dollar. We were high stakes people.
High stakes. $2 and 4 sweet and lows, I think, is what the pot was up to by the end of the night.
So a good time was had by all, and it was good to get to bed after pushing 40 hours with just a little cat nap in the car.
Yeah, I think I had maybe 3 hours, and I think you had two maybe in the car, but... yeah, it was good to go to bed, even if it was a small bed. But
When they say a double, they mean a full, not a queen. Yeah. So it was cozy. It's a good thing we're friendly.
Moving on.
Let's see. Saturday, the big day. Oh, my God. We were up early to get ready because it's crazy early. Everybody has to queue up, wait in line to be assigned your special secret spot, and then you have to go in. The wall table holders can get in there earlier, the big distributors and the big manufacturers, and then the rest of us peons have to wait just a little bit. I think it's just so there's enough concierge carts to go around.
Could be. Don't be fooled because it's a pen show. This is a breeze. I mean, you were getting up at 6. I think we got up at 6:30 that morning.
The alarm went off before then. Yep. Yeah.
So
to get up, get ready, and get down there on time, and then set up again. So, but it was so nice to sleep in a real bed. Let's see, set up took us what, like 2 hours?
Yeah, well, we had some help.
Yep, we did, which was awesome. A little drama with musical tables, but it was all good once the doors opened and we had things set up.
Yeah, we had Tim Beiler.
Oh, my God. Poor Tim.
From Little Rock helping us out. But
He came up for the show, and we knew that he was going to, and we asked if we could rent him. We ran that boy ragged. He says we didn't. He says he had fun. He was busy. I don't think he expected it to be as busy and as just, you know, back and forth, people everywhere. We had people 2 and 3 deep at the table for almost the whole day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank goodness for Tim. We could not have handled it by ourselves.
Well, you know, it was funny. We're sitting there and you were kind of over on the far left by where the paper was, and Tim was kind of in the middle, and there was a very small lull a couple hours in, and he looked at me and he says something about, well, what time is it? It must be like 10:30. And I hadn't changed my watch from Central Time to Eastern Time. And I think he was a little bit early anyway. And so I looked at my watch and it said 8:45. And he freaked out.
Poor Tim's thinking, oh my God, I have like 8 more hours.
Yeah. But it was hot in there. Oh my goodness.
Very hot.
I think there was somebody, I heard rumor that there was somebody on the other end of the main ballroom that had a thermometer. And it read 86 degrees.
Yeah, it was really hot in there. I mean, you get all those people, and it's a small area. And for the vendors, you're busy moving from one end of the table to the other, or still trying to get set up, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it was funny because he said to me, he says, you know, if I move over like 2 feet to the left here, right behind the grid, there's like a cool spot.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was. And surprisingly, Tim stayed there the entire day.
He did not. He was all over.
No.
We're just messing. But it was significantly cooler, like a foot to the left.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was probably 5 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But it was busy. In fact, I think I only actually got out on the floor once.
That was part of my grand plan.
It was. Well, you know, that's okay. You know, if the table's busy, that's all right. But I got out behind the table once, basically to go to the bathroom. And then on the way back, I made kind of the long trip around. But I had stopped back to one of the tables where I had scouted out on Friday. And
shopped?
You know, I had seen this pen on Friday, and I really liked it. The price was okay. It had the wrong nib, but I thought, well, the last I had left the negotiations was that the price was what it was, but maybe we could go a little bit lower. Well, I go back to the table, and the price is now 25% less than what it was the day before, and I said, well, you know, for that price, I can find the nib. So I come home with pen number one,
ta-da,
which is an Aiken Lambert, for lack of a better word, a basket weave, kind of a high relief overlay. It's an eyedropper, and it has a cool, probably can't see it real well from here, but it has a cool rib section right up here. But in this case, it has a warranted nib, but it's clearly an Aiken Lambert design in an Aiken Lambert feed. So really, really super nice pen. That was pen number one.
What is it with you? And you get all excited about these pens, but either they don't have a nib or they don't have the right nib.
Yeah, I'm on this weird kick lately. I don't know.
Yeah, it's nibless pen.
I buy the pen with the wrong nib and then I get the nib later, but...
And then you still need another pen.
Then I still need another pen, yeah.
Yeah. There's a method to your madness.
So that was essentially the only pen I got on Saturday, because I went straight back to the table and we went and worked the rest of the day. But we did get a chance later on. I met up with Schaefer rep Jared Lakowski, and he gave us a little insight on some of the new Schaefer pens that are coming. The Taranis,
yep,
which is a hooded nib pen, which looks fantastic in pictures. They did not have them there, but rumor was is they were going to be out at the end of this year, and then it was going to be next year. And the last word on that right now is that they will indeed be out this fall.
Cool.
Which is exciting. A couple of different designs, a couple of different colors, cool looking pen. They're also coming up with another pen at a slightly lower price point. I believe it's called the Cigaris. But that also probably be out by the end of the year. So that's kind of cool. And they also just recently came out with the new special edition Ferrari pens.
Those are cool.
In red. Yeah, they're really cool. They come out in the VFM. The 100, 300, and 500 series. And the 300s are pretty cool. They're red, and then they have black ends, and then the Ferrari logo is on the clip, so it's kind of neat. But we may be having to get some of those. We kind of like them. But
so you like them, so we have to...
We might have to have one or two.
Okay.
So what else happened? One of our podcast listeners came up to the table and remembered our... had seen our podcast where we discussed the Waterman Stanhope.
Oh, the eBay.
The eBay auction, right? And he had a Stanhope pen of his own. It was a German-made pen, no other marking on it. Very, very interesting pen. It was kind of this light orangish, pinkish-orange kind of colored casein. And the Stanhope was this... rather risque picture of a topless lady.
Oh my!
And what was interesting is when he's showing me the pen at the table, we realized that the pen is not only it's a Stanhope, but in a big pen, it's a combo, and the nib actually unscrews from the barrel, and you can flip it around for the pen, which is a dip pen. Or you can flip it the other way for a fountain pen.
Oh, cool.
So it was kind of cool to see. Really just something different. And Stanhopes are always fun. But kind of neat. Let's see. Who else did we... I did get a chance quickly to chat with Joe Nemechek. He's the Victorian pencil guy. He had an amazing display all weekend. And he's still on cloud nine.
And he should be.
after winning that Parker Bridge set from the Raleigh auction this past June.
Yeah, it was a cool set.
Yeah, he was all smiles about it. I saw some neat tools in some mandrels that Stuart Hawkinson has for 51 demis and 61s. And I forgot to go back to his table and buy them. So
He'll be there in Columbus.
Yeah. So, he'll have them, I'm sure. But, let's see, Jonathan Velli stopped by. He had a most interesting Esterbrook pencil that had an inlay, a sterling inlay from the 1939 World's Fair.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting pencil. We're kind of trying to figure out if it was the origin, because the pencil it was on was actually a little bit later than that emblem. So we're trying to figure out how it got there, or how, you know, maybe the dates are wrong, or the history behind the pencil is kind of neat.
So it's a Franken pencil.
I don't think so, but who knows? Yeah, it sounds good.
I just like to say it. It was cool. He was very excited about it. Very excited.
Well, it was kind of cool. He sort of gave me he had spotted it on somebody else's table, and I said, "Well, hey, you know, listen, if you want it, you know, go ahead. Otherwise, I'll probably take it." So
he just wanted to photograph it.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy it, just let me take a picture first.
Right. Yeah. So
that was cool. Saturday night we had dinner with Brian and Andrea Gray of Edison Pens, Judy and Brian from Allen Press, and Eric and Steven. And dinner was great. Conversation was great. And then we concluded the evening. Well, we started to conclude the evening with a couple bottles of wine in the lobby. We had brought them from home because we knew that we would be hanging out, and we thought we'd just bring some wine.
Yeah, and we've done this before.
Sorry?
We've done this before. We've had large wine. Groups of people.
Oh, yeah, big groups. So we've done it the last couple of years. Other people have brought wine, and, you know, everybody gets a glass. And we'd even gone to the bar and asked for six wine glasses. So, hello.
Yeah.
That tells you what we were doing. We ended up getting in trouble and kicked out of the lobby for public consumption. So we moved to the bar and we kept drinking and just talking and chatting. We had a great time. Good time was had by all. And probably the most important thing that you need to remember is pen shows are like Vegas. What happens at pen shows stays at pen shows. And that's a good thing. Yep. It's a really good thing. And any incriminating pictures have been photoshopped. Trust me. Some of the conversation was weird. I'm still stuck on Inky Fingers and the over-commercialized rat rant.
Oh.
Mickey Mouse is not popular in Ohio,
it's
apparently.
It's not popular, no.
But Legoland has quite the appeal.
Yep.
Yeah. And movie theme songs.
Oh, man.
Part of the reason we go to pen shows is, I mean, obviously we go to sell. We go to buy for both inventory and for our personal collection. But the big draw, honestly, is to see our friends and hang out and get to know some of the pen people better and reconnect with our good friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we all make it through the weekend sometimes. We stay up too late, we get up too early, and we're all tired, but we all have a really good time.
Yep. So... Yep, that was that concluded Saturday, another long day.
Boy. And then Sunday, the last day of the show. And keep in mind that some people have been there since Wednesday night or Thursday. Mm-hmm. Sunday was actually kind of unusual. Usually, Sundays are pretty slow. In fact, Brian usually hates Sundays. It's the norm for many vendors not even to get down to the ballroom until, you know, 10 or 11, because it is that slow.
Right.
Usually nobody really shows up until after church and lunch. So we're all kind of sitting around trading with each other and, you know, hanging out, but it was unusually busy, which was good. Not as crazy as Saturday, but definitely busier than usual. And
Busier even than Friday.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of.
It was nice to not sit around bored until noon.
Yep. Yep.
So it's usually a good time to shop a little bit, make some last minute deals, socialize, you know, rearrange your table. We did all of that, but we were still behind the table quite a bit, which was nice to be busy.
Yep.
Yep. We always wait till the end of the show. We don't ever want to leave a show early. It makes the show look closed if you've got a whole bunch of empty tables. But it's harder to pack up because we're tired and all we want to do is throw stuff into boxes and go home.
Yep. Well, and usually we're rushing back because I have to work the next day or something's going on. So that makes it even more difficult to not pack up early. But
Yeah. But we stay and usually it's worth it.
Yep.
In fact, I think this year they were dimming the lights as we were still packing up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I get it. they could turn the dang things back up. It was really hard to pack stuff up, but we packed up quite a bit at the end of the show. But you know, I wish we had some more time. You know, we have a lot of friends, Mario and Angelica from Toys in the Attic. Hopefully, we can. They'll be in Dallas. Hopefully, we can hang out with them, have dinner with them Thursday night in Dallas. Did get to chat with Barry Gabbe about some Mont Blancs, some 1970s that we seem to be collecting.
We have two.
And somehow, I don't know how it happened, but I managed to walk away without buying some because he had quite a few on his table that were really nice, including an almost irresistible 2-for-1 kind of deal. You buy one, and he has this parts pen, which had a part that I needed. But I thought paying essentially $175 for a little small part was a little excessive, but
it's for my pen. So you might change your mind later.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
if Barry's in Columbus, we might be in trouble.
We'll see. Yeah. We talked with Terry Mayhorder, about some credit card processing, trying to get him set up, get him to learn Square.
Yep.
Got our tables reserved for Columbus. Tim, if you're not busy, we may need you again now that we've trained you. And maybe one of the most, you know, we didn't get much time to walk around, but one of the most amazing pens that I saw, and I saw some pretty cool stuff. Luis Leite from Portugal was there, and he bought a pen on, I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday, and it had been sitting on this gentleman's table all day. People had been walking past it, and it was the largest pen I have ever seen.
The nightstick.
And literally, it had to have been 10 inches long, and it was a giant, giant Dunn in perfect condition.
Sounds like a fish story.
No, this big. I took a picture of it.
You did. It's huge.
Next to a Pelican, and it's ridiculous. I mean, it looks like you can put the Pelican in the cap, and it's perfect. And there's not a crack, a chip. The nib is got to be, you know, it's that big. The casing knob on the end is perfect. I have this funny picture of Luis hanging onto it. He's got this big smile on his face. And he got it for a steal of a deal, which is probably why everybody passed it up, because they thought it was worth more than what the asking price was. Because, I mean, this was... and actually, I was at... when I saw it, I was at Francis Pabillion's table, and we both guessed what we thought the pen was worth, and it wasn't even a fraction of that that he paid for it. So
that he paid for it.
That he paid for it, yeah.
Probably is worth that much.
So I hope... I hope he makes it safe back to Portugal. In fact, he had it in his funny little box that looked like a kind of box you get like cheap jewelry in, and he had it in his suit coat because he didn't want the TSA to think it was some kind of weapon. But anyway, Francis and I, we were talking about, we found we both had matching Esterbrook nurse's pens in the demi size. Now, these are the pens that have the black indicator on the top and the red indicator on the bottom. If you can see here. Well, we both had the exact same pen.
So you had matching mismatched pens.
That's correct. Yeah, we were hoping that I had like maybe the red cap and he had the red barrel end, but we were not able to, you know, it would have been great to say, hey, listen, I'll just swap and then we'd both have a correct pen, but it wasn't the case.
But now you have mismatched twins.
We have mismatched twins, yeah. And if you don't know Francis, he's one of the kindest, most gentlemen you'd ever want to meet. I mean, he's a real nice guy.
Best dressed guy at the pen show.
Yes, yes, yes. Sunday, I got a chance to talk with Carl Daniel, who showed me some really cool Esterbrook pens, including a very rare gray marble with red veined V-clip pen, which was
cool.
Yeah, it was a very, very nice pen. Another person, and I, for the life of me, I can't remember who it was, but he showed me the rarest snorkel, the Fern Green.
I don't remember who it was.
And Fern Green is the one that that Cheryl Tyree says is just the ugliest thing on the planet. And it was. It was pretty ugly. But, you know, you never see them. In fact, this gentleman had been looking for...
because they're so ugly.
Yeah, he'd been looking for 2 or 3 years before he finally found one, and he found it at the show. So it was... I don't remember if it was his first one or not, but it was cool to see it in nice condition, and I was able to compare it next to the Sage Green, so I could learn what the color looks like in person.
Cool.
But you know, at a pen show is the only place you're really going to see that. You can't do that online. So
no.
But
let's see who else was there. Bert Ozer from Bertram's Inkwell, always there. Mario from Toys in the Attic. I managed to score a leather pen case that's a match to one I already own. Let's see if I can show you here. It's got the, I don't know if you can see it. It's got the braided front flap, which is exactly like one I already have. But it was discontinued years ago. So when I found it, I was actually, like Brian, coming back from the bathroom, I took a little detour just to go into the small room and kind of swing by. I was just walking by, glanced down, I saw it, grabbed it, handed it to the vendor, and I said, can you hold this? I have to go get money. And I kind of race walked back to the table, grabbed some cash, took off. Brian's just kind of looking at me like, where are you going? And ran back, got it, and I think that's the only thing I bought.
I think it is, yeah.
I was really excited, though, to find it because I've never seen another one since I got the first one. Mm-hmm. So that was cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Who else? I talked with, my Sunday purchase. Talked with Tim Pearson. And if you don't know Tim, Tim's the guy that has probably the most pens at the show, always.
Ever.
I don't even know how, I won't even guess. I mean, he has them stacked up. He brings this huge display. He's got desk sets. You got drawers that you pull out. I mean,
drawers that are like 10 high.
Yeah. Thousands of pens.
Crazy.
Nicest guy too. Really just super nice guy. Funny. But I've been kind of looking over some of his pens. I decided this one was coming home with me. And it's a Sterling eyedropper. It's unmarked, but it's very reminiscent of Waterman's fine silver Art Nouveau eyedroppers that they made. In fact, what's interesting is this one. It has a big, big flower on the cap. And look at the size comparison. The one on the bottom here is actually a Waterman's fine silver. So this is a bit quite a bit larger, number 4 size nib, warranted nib, but it may even be Aiken Lambert. I'm not sure. I know Aiken did some Art Nouveau style like this as well, but I'll have to do some research. But it's got a nice flexible nib.
It's a pretty one.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice pen. I haven't bought a Sterling pen in a while, so and I do like the filigree. So, But he's got another overlay that's kind of on my short list.
Uh-oh. He'll be in Dallas.
He'll be in Dallas, yeah. And we'll see. It's a nice, it's has one of those chased snail pattern overlays on it. But
oh, God, yeah. That'll come we'll home
see.
With us.
We'll see. The price was right, so I had to
stay tuned. Yeah, it'll come home with us.
Yeah. So
let's see. Raffles. Were made for several PCA memberships, a couple of pens, some paper we donated, and a bunch of other things with the proceeds to go to Ginger Welch after the tragic death of Stan Pfeiffer and the fire that burned down their new house.
Yep.
Absolutely tragic. So yep. I think it was somewhere between $650 and $800 that was raised to be able to send to Ginger. Alan Shaw spearheaded that, and a lot of people donated things. It was really nice.
Yep.
Let's see who else. Always a pleasure to see Sam and Frank of Pandemonium. Wouldn't be a show without them. Jimmy Dolev, of course. He's just so sweet. He's just always just so happy to be there. My pen show big sister, Carla Mortensen, who she is one lucky woman. She managed to sneak the show in between meetings for another organization, which happened to be meeting in D.C. that very same weekend. Awesomely lucky to have another organization pay to fly you in for a meeting, same time, same place, and she just kind of snuck away for part of the show. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, she wasn't there very often. I think she got in late Saturday night or something.
Yeah, and then she had some meetings that she had to go to, but I'm not sure if they were in the same hotel or not. It was close, but she kind of managed to break away from what she was originally there for to sneak over and see all of us.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. I kept looking for her on Saturday. I'm like, where's Carla? Where's Carla? But
I know.
As luck would have it, though, she happened to be right behind us on Sunday, so that was cool.
It worked out well.
We did manage to come home with a few things for, I guess, for the website. Several large boxes of desk sets. I don't know how I got roped into that.
Look, honey, it's a deal.
Guess what? there goes all that space we saved by all that stuff.
Yeah. All the empty space got filled with large, heavy, heavy boxes.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I went through some of them last night, and there are some pretty interesting things in there. So there'll be some things some people are going to want to see. We also got a few of the newer, I guess their special edition for 2012, the Pelican M320s. Now, these are smaller, a smaller Pelican. With a gold nib, but it has a matching, the barrel and cap match. They're red marble. Very, very pretty
pen. Very
pretty. Yep. Two-tone nib, just like the 600 series, but it's kind of a small. It's almost a demi-size, lady-size pen. Picked up a couple of those and a bunch of ink. And, you know, well, we'll be sorting through some of this stuff for a while, but there's some pretty cool stuff.
It's only 6 weeks till Dallas, so only we better sort fast.
It's only 6 weeks till Dallas.
Oh, no.
Maybe we need to get five tables so we bring all the desk sets.
Oh, God. No, you can. I'm strapping you to the top of the car then.
Who else do we see? Well, I hope we're going to forget somebody, I'm sure, but I apologize if we do.
Let's see Sarge Minhas and his lovely lady Jazz. Yep. Oh, my God. He's got such cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just drool on his pens.
Yep.
I hope he doesn't mind. Ariel Kulik and his fiance Michelle got a chance to talk to them. They were across from us, so we kind of called comments back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Hamilton and Cheryl Tyree, of course. Ron Zorn, Harry and Julie Shubin were there. Their daughter Rachel ran the PCA table for me, which was a huge blessing. Rachel heads off to college next week, so I'll see about sending her some big sisterly type care packages.
Very cool. Yeah, she was busy most of the time. So
yeah,
good to have a dedicated person at the table. So you didn't have to.
Awesome.
Normally you're always running over there, and
yeah, I know. So this way it was better for everyone.
Yep, that worked out good. I'm sure we're forgetting somebody, but you know, we could be here all night probably.
Yep.
So. lot of people, and again, if you haven't been to a pen show and you can get to one that's nearby, just go.
Do it. Don't hesitate. Just do it.
Save your money up. Plan one for 2013 and make the arrangements. Do what you have to do. Get to a show. You know, there's pens. But really what it boils down to it is the people. They're cool. It's cool to hang out with some of these people and learn about pens. And, you know, sometimes we don't even talk about pens. It doesn't matter. But, you know, the pens are cool to see. Everybody's got some neat stuff. Modern, vintage, everything in between. Desk sets, paper, you name it. Go to a show. Make it a thing that you're going to do for 2013.
Although sometimes at dinner, all you do talk about is pens, and you just play musical pens, passing pens around, and well, here, try this one, and just make sure at the end of the night that you've got all of yours and nobody else's, and everything's good. So,
all right. Anything else?
Yes.
The Schaefer package giveaway. Now we started getting quite a number of entries coming in.
Oh, my God. We're having a blast reading them. An absolute blast.
Go down to the post office every night, go check the P.O. box, and then come home and sit outside and read them. good stuff. Just keep it coming. Postcard, letter, up until August 25th. We will accept letters and postcards for the August 26th podcast drawing. On that day, that's Sunday, August 26th, the winner will be offered his or her choice of a Schaefer 100 pen, a bottle of Schaefer ink, and we'll throw in a notepad so you got something to scribble on.
The pen color choices are the brushed chrome, the glossy black. Yep, that's
I've been Brian's using this every day chrome. For like 2 weeks now.
Yep. The matte black, the matte blue, which I think is my favorite, but I'm not sure yet. Matte gray, translucent blue, which is really pretty, or translucent red. Yep. And the nib choices are easy, fine or medium. Winner will also choose from the 8 Schaefer bottled ink colors, and you get a notepad from us.
Cool. Pen, paper, and ink, all to the winner.
Send your entry in the form of a postcard or a letter, or, yes, a note card. No emails, texts, or other electronic entries. Some of the entries we've received already have been awesome. Gorgeous writing, cute cards, funny comments, and a couple of postcards with nothing but the hopeful entrant's name and address. No hi, no note, just name and address. One of them we picked up today was really funny. He's hoping that he wins, but his wife will borrow the pen and...
Yeah, we got some art, some nice calligraphy. One even was sent to us on a blotter.
Yep.
So
we've been having a blast receiving them. Keep them coming. Mail them to us at Anderson Pens Schaefer Giveaway, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin 54912.
And the winner will be drawn completely at random by our daughter during the podcast. So, you know, you don't have to, it's not based on who has the best handwriting or the best artistic ability, but that's always fun to throw in there, though, if you want to.
Yeah. I think that's it.
That's it for this week. All right. Next week, we will resume our normal podcast production. But for this week, that's the Washington, D.C. Pen Show Super Show Edition. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens, write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin 54912.
Or catch us online at
email Brian at AndersonPens.net
or Lisa at AndersonPens.net.
You'll find us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
We are on the web, of course, AndersonPens.net.
Our blog is AndersonPens.net/blog.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.